I want to record like a little preface, speaker's note, whatever the fuck you want to call it to this. I understand and I've listened to how entitled the way I was thinking about this may come across to people. And I want to reiterate, I said it a couple times in the first two episodes, and I'll say it a couple times in this episode, that like, I understand what I was asking for to go part-time was a difficult ask. Like, that's not something that's easy to do. And what I meant by that was I didn't feel entitled to get that position. Like, that's what I wanted. So that's why I was very intense in advocating for that, because ultimately, if you don't ask for what you want in your career, you'll never get it. Ultimately, if you don't make decisions to adjust or push or change your career, you're probably never going to be happy, in my opinion, because if you're just going to let your destiny and your life and your career be in the hands of your boss, of your manager, of your principal, of an AP, of whoever, they're never going to have your number one best interest at heart, because they're their own person living their own life. So that's why my attitude coming into this was very much like, what would be in the best interest of me? Because I was advocating for myself as an employee. And so this entire story is being told from my perspective. And to be clear, I never felt that I was entitled to be able to teach part-time, even though my test scores were really good and all these things that I've mentioned and will mention in this upcoming episode. I didn't believe that that earned me the position or made me entitled to it, or like they were wrong for not giving it to me. I did think it probably would have been a wise decision for them to give it to me for those reasons, which is why I bring them up. But what I did feel that I was entitled to, that I think every human being is entitled to, is being treated with respect and professionalism and kindness in the workplace. And so if it comes across that I have like an entitled energy and I feel like angry, that's where the source of my anger is. The source of my anger is not that I didn't get what I wanted. Was I disappointed? Yes. Was it sad for me? Did I not like that? Yes and yes. Ultimately, my number one choice was to be teaching US history part-time. It didn't work out that way. I'm not angry that it couldn't work out that way. I don't think it was within the control of any of the people I mentioned in this story. I think that is an HR decision that was out of most people's hands. But what was in control of everyone in this story was the way they spoke to me, was the way they treated me, was the way that they handled this. And that is why I decided to tell people about it, because it is not great what happened. And unfortunately, it's very common what happened. And many people have been treated this way by their administrators. The other thing I want to speak on and say is that in the previous two episodes and in this one, I am like emotional. You can tell it hurt me. And when I say like I wanted to cry, my mental health was horrible, all of that. A big piece of that was coming from the fact that at my previous school, I did have some more traumatic instances. At my previous school, I did have administrators scream in my face. I did have administrators say very, very nasty and unprofessional things to me that are really, really not okay. Things that, in my opinion, were far worse than this situation. But in a way, this situation was harder, I think, because I was actually dealing with the emotions of both situations. I think that even though I've talked about it very publicly on TikTok, I've talked about it very publicly on the podcast, I still just kind of tried to like shove it down and not think about how it impacted me and like the way I view myself and the way I view my job and the way I view like schools as an institution. So to be in a very different situation, but one that does have some parallels of like feeling unvalued, feeling disrespected, feeling like people aren't communicating with me, it was very, very, very triggering. So when I say later on in this episode, and I think I've said previously too, like my mental health was horrible, I was crying all the time, I don't want it to sound like I'm putting the blame for that on any one specific person, because I'm not. It was really just like the perfect storm of the situation. And then I also am happy to own and admit, like, I am a very emotional person, and I like when people cry at work personally. Not I like it, like I'm glad they're suffering, but I think getting emotional over your job and being upset over something shows that you care. And it shows that you're very committed to it and that it's very important to you. So I just wanted to record this little like pre-episode call out because I felt like in the main parts of the episode, I'm just going through how I felt and what happened. And so I kind of wanted to take a moment to speak on that in the context of looking back on it and like everything that went into that, because do you think you just fell out of a coconut tree? Like my principal sending me an email or saying a certain thing, like all of that is within the context of my entire life and of their entire life and of everything that happened. So it might seem like I'm being very dramatic to some things, and that's fine. Like it was my experience and that's how I experienced it, and I didn't share any of this to get anybody in trouble or to be angry at anybody. You have to remember a lot of the people I talk about in this, I still work with almost every day, and we have neutral to positive working relationships. I just shared it because I thought other people might find it helpful or validating. And honestly, I just like feel a responsibility to be transparent with you all. Like we've built a whole podcast about education and about teaching, and I'm not going to call anybody out, but there are teacher influencers who are not in the classroom and don't tell people that. And so if that's your journey, that's your journey. But I really hate not telling people things. Like I love to tell people everything ever. So I wanted to be transparent about what I was doing this year, which is subbing. And then I knew people would wonder, why did you do that? And I felt like there wasn't a way to explain it without explaining everything. So this is me explaining everything.
I always really liked soccer boys, and I got one.
I became of course you soccer like soccer trainer. Boys.
Yeah. I was a soccer trainer in high school simply so that I could hang out with hot soccer guys the whole year. And it became my goal in eighth grade to be the soccer trainer when I got to high school. And then I became a sports medicine major for a while. And then I was like, the very first class that I had of my sports medicine class, they said, okay, you'll have to report to the physician. And I went, wait, I'm not reporting to fucking anybody. And I changed my major to pre-med.
Medicine, a field known for its lack of regulations and lack of reporting chain.
Yeah, I said, they're going to report to me, bitch. And then I was in a meeting with my advisor and they said, you're going to be in school until you're 31. And I said, well, that just won't do. And I quit.
I wish you were my doctor. Then maybe I'd actually have medical care.
Maybe.
Probably not, but maybe.
My life would be so different. Okay, let's do this. I'm scared.
I keep forgetting you have dogs. I always forget that. I feel like your life already has so much going on that my brain just deletes the dogs. It's like I can't consider that as a factor.
The dogs work with my husband all day, so I also forget that they exist sometimes. And then I hear that and I'm like, who's in that? Because they have a door to the backyard, so they go out back to the she shed and to the patio, and then they go to the sunroom. They do a little rotation, but I'm not a part of it. Husband knows all.
Those are his dogs now. Even the Prozac one.
Well, she's on trazodone now. The Prozac stopped working. They had to fully sedate her. Yeah.
I'm trying to remember where we left off. I think where we left off is I had just gotten my contract and I knew I wanted to be part-time, but I don't think I said anything about after that.
Correct. We were just about to get into what you're doing now.
One thing about me, if you put something weird in an email, I forwarded it to myself and now it's saved in a Google Drive.
That's me, but with people who comment shit that I absolutely detest. I have a searchable database of people who've severely pissed me off on the internet for the past 5 years. And I regularly spot check.
Hello.
What are you up to?
One of my friends, she wouldn't care if I told you this, when we were in college, she made a spreadsheet of everyone and if they wished her happy birthday or not. And if it was their birthday, she would check the spreadsheet to see if they had wished her a happy birthday. And then like a couple months ago, I brought it up. I was like, that was so funny. And she goes, you know what? I actually used that spreadsheet recently when I was deciding who to invite to my wedding. And she had like each year and she had the people categorized by like how she knew them. And like the offense of them not saying it was different based on what category they were in. like very adult smart. Work friends, it was like low offense. But like close childhood friend, it was like high offense.
I always think to myself, like, oh, if I forget to say, like, for acquaintances, obviously, if I forget their birthday, like on the Facebook or whatever, nobody's going to notice. No.
She noticed. People always forget my birthday, but I don't really get bothered by that because I feel weird about my birthday.
You wouldn't even tell me your birthday. You don't want me to acknowledge your birthday.
Well, I like my birthday. When I was a kid, well, I don't know. My birthday is like right after New Year's Eve, New Year's Day. So like that's just a chaotic time for everyone. So like everyone's doing dry January. Everyone's broke. Like I hated it when I was like younger and in college because like no one wanted to party. Everyone was always out of town. But now that I'm an adult, I actually really like it because it's usually easy to get off work. And now that I am a grown up, I like realize you don't have to drink alcohol when you don't like it. Fun fact for anyone listening.
Imagine that.
So my birthday routine is going to a spa and then spending like $1,000 on something I don't need. So now it's cool. But when I was a kid, I would always be jealous of kids who had their birthday. I felt like I was getting the short end of both sticks because my birthday would always fall on Christmas break. So I wouldn't get the class party stuff. But then my birthday also wasn't in the summer, so I couldn't have a pool party. Because all the summer birthday kids were like, I don't give a fuck about my school birthday. It's summer, bitch.
I don't like having a winter birthday myself.
My nephew has a winter birthday, and like when it was supposed to be his birthday party, everyone had like RSV and the flu and stuff. And so my sister was like, fuck it, half a birthday, and threw him a half birthday in the summer instead.
That's so cute.
And I was like, you know what? At that age, they don't even know what a birthday is. Who gives a shit?
No, Jay keeps asking to dye Easter eggs. And I'm like, girl, no. And she's obsessed with Halloween year round. So when the Halloween decorations went up, she's been asking to trick or treat since April. And I'm like, we can't just do that. You can't just roll out and make that happen. So she's very thrilled that we're finally
doing Halloween. I'm eager to see if we get trick-or-treaters in our neighborhood. We moved. Our old neighborhood, yes. It was very mid. Like, I personally, if I had small children, would probably not let them trick-or-treat in that neighborhood because there's no sidewalks or anything like that. But it's not, like, dangerous. So we would get, like, last year, I think we got, like, maybe 15 or 20 kids. And I have good candy, so teenagers hit my house, like, two or three times. And I was like, all right. After the third time, I was like, you have to go. The third time when they brought additional teenagers who were not in costume, I was like, I'm drawing the line.
Get out of here.
It's 9:45 p.m. Like, we're done. Like,
we're done.
Halloween is over.
I'm a high school teacher. I'm not the one.
No, literally. I was like, I know what high school you go to.
Yeah,
I get will out of here. Show up there with ring camera footage. The first time they came, it was like four teenagers. They were in costume. So it's like, obviously, some people don't like when teenagers trick-or-treat. I think positive thing for them to be doing.
Yes.
So I gave them candy. And then they came back a second time. And I gave them candy again because there's not a ton of houses in my old neighborhood that, like, had their lights on and were giving out candy. So I was like, okay, you slim pickings. Like, I'll give you candy twice. But then when they came a third time with a bunch of non-costumed friends, I was like, I'm being taken advantage of, I fear.
I told you about corning, right? Sorry, everyone. We'll get into this shit in a second. I just want to talk
about
corning. You did,
but I forgot it again.
Okay, so, I'm going to tell everyone. And I need to make a video.
All I know is it was fucked up. That's what I remember is you told me about some fucked up Halloween tradition that I was deeply upset by that involved corn.
In Pennsylvania, I'm from Latrobe, Pennsylvania, which is the middle of nowhere, essentially, except for Mr. Rogers is from there and Arnold Palmer. Anyways.
Is he bad?
Well, I don't know.
All I know about him is he did golf in the drink.
I don't know diddly about diddly. He just was kind of a diva a little bit because he's from fuck-ass Pennsylvania and was a big dog with a drink named after him. You know what I mean? Like, he was kind of like that energy. Like, he had a country club, the only country club, and it was just very, like, a lot. Not my kind of energy. But anyways, in Pennsylvania, we have a tradition where we take corn, hard corn. So the corn that you see growing on the side of the road typically is feed for animals. And you take the hard corn and you take all the kernels out, you put it in a bag. And then corning is the night before Halloween, you throw corn at people's doors. And it's like the bad kids, quote unquote, would always go corning. And my mom never let me go corning.
So you just throw corn at people's doors?
Yeah. That was what bad kids did. They would, like, run around after dark and throw corn at the doors. And then you'd wake up in the morning and there'd be corn kernels everywhere on your porch, or you'd be like watching TV and you'd hear like the tick 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 tick, like somebody threw in your door. And that was the peak. Sometimes people would corn you because they liked you. Sometimes people would corn you because they hate you. Sometimes you just were unlucky. And then on the 4th of July, they'd throw M80s.
They'd throw what?
M80s.
What is that?
An explosive.
Like, what are those things? I forget what they're called, but you throw them on the ground. Is that
poppers?
M80s? Yeah.
No, M80s are bigger than that. Somebody blew, a kid in my elementary school blew his finger off with an M80 in 5th grade. Yep.
That's
my hometown.
I think as...
And
as,
you should know this. Like, I feel like... Are you like a city slicker?
Not a city slicker.
Tell me.
There was a thing... I'm trying to... me and my sister were talking about this the other day that we used to do in my old neighborhood as a kid, but I don't think it's like a southern thing. I think it was like a our neighborhood thing. I think it was called like You've Been Booed or something, and you would have these little... Listen, it was in like the 2 weeks preceding Halloween, and there was this little paper of a ghost, and it said like boo. And it was like a little cartoon ghost. And you would have to tape it on someone's like front door or window and then leave like a little bit of candy. And like if someone did it to you, that meant you had to go do it to someone else. And my mom would always get so angry when someone would do it to us because she would be like, I don't have time to go to the store. I don't keep candy in the house. Like,
oh my God.
But like if you stopped the train, like you're the asshole.
That is so wholesome. That is so cute.
I just remember it bringing her so much stress. Because I remember, like, if we got, like, the boo thing a couple days before Halloween, she was chill. Because we probably already had the candy at that point. But if we got it, like, week one, she was like, fuck this. Like, and yeah. You're supposed to do it the next night. And they do it to you, like, in the evening. So, like, that's an errand tomorrow, bitch. Like, you have 24 hours to get your shit together. And, like, I think she hated it because growing up, this was, like, pre-2008, most of the families in my neighborhood, it was, like, dad works, stay-at-home mom. So they all had, like, fucking craft supplies and free time. And because she was working, she was, like, everyone's cute. Like, and people would decorate the paper. Like some people would like make a different version of it and be super cute and crafty, and my mom was like, I can't fucking do this. Like,
oh my God.
I don't have like randomly 6 hours free in a day to create this elaborate boo moment, because sometimes they would be like good, like it would have like good candy. And like I remember one year we got like Halloween hair bows that someone's mom had made. Like they were 2008 hit this community, y'all. Like
oh my God.
That's Raz's really husband doesn't believe in 2008.
Yes, he does.
No, he doesn't.
We told this story on the podcast, I think. No, on Patreon, I think.
Somewhere.
If you guys don't know, my husband entertained himself at a dinner with Redacted and her fiance one night by telling Redacted's fiance that he doesn't believe in the 2008 like recession stock market crash situation.
Real.
And he put in his Instagram bio 2008 financial crisis denier. We like to entertain ourselves by doing bits, and it's just really unfortunate that my husband decided to entertain himself in such a way to people that he simply didn't know.
I like that. My brain has accepted one fact about him and one piece of information, and it's that one, and I won't be learning anything else.
That's all you need. That's
don't know any of his favorite foods, hobbies, nothing. Oh, irrelevant, but I meant to tell you, your hair looks good. We've been recovering from what happened and what
We've
was
been
done
recovering.
To you.
It
you
was
posted
horrible.
Something the other day that I was like, oh, her hair looks good. It doesn't just look like, all right, you got it together. It looked like actually actively good.
I appreciate that. I have been working really, really hard. Shay Sullivan on TikTok has this haircut on purpose. And I started following her hair tutorials to try to teach myself
what to do.
Because it can't just hang here like a wet dog every day.
I thought you might have gotten it like retrimmed. Mm-mm. So that you're very successful.
Thank you. That means a lot to me given the effort that I put in.
See, I didn't even know that. It's how you know it's paying off, because I didn't have enough information to lie to you for your feelings.
Which is, like, so fucked up. I think intimacy is when you can be honest with people, and sometimes intimacy is being mean to your friends a little bit. You know what I mean? Like, I get, like, the butterflies when my friends are mean to me for the first time. I waited a really long time for my best friend to be a bitch to me, because I came into her life later, and all of her friends are from childhood. So, like, she was, like... ribbing them and, like, you know, they had, like, banter.
You were just waiting.
So long for her to, like, say something to me. And I was like, hell yeah. But some people that do it too soon, not the vibe. Like, we have to.
It has to be the perfect timing.
Be symbiotic. Anyways, if you guys want to do a booed thing at school, that would be so cute at school.
That is like a good
booing
idea.
Booing other teachers.
Yeah.
Boo! Boo!
And also sometimes like that.
We should have both, like boo positive and boo derogatory. And like now boo positive, talking. You get the candy, and boo derogatory, I just put corn all over your classroom.
Boo derogatory, you collect notes from everybody about how much they hate you and what they hate specifically.
Non-anonymously. Everyone signs their name. The principal's like, you're ugly.
Well, party people, Redacted has much to tell you about what she's been doing.
So I filed for an accommodation. It was handled in a very illegal and unethical and offensive way. And then I thought I was going to get my contract renewal in April. So I was like, when the thing with my accommodation happened, it was like late February, like very tail end of February. So I was like, I'll have a month for everyone to kind of like forget about this. And then I wanted to ask to go part time, which is like not really something my district does, but I've seen it be done. So I knew it was going to be like a tough ask, but I also knew it wasn't going to be impossible. I was a little bit stressed because we had a new principal, and my old principal, he's very much like a, I just want everyone to be chill and happy type of guy. So he's like, a lot of people dislike this about him, but I liked it. He was kind of a yes man. Like if you asked for something, he'd be like, yeah. And like sometimes he wouldn't be able to follow through on it, but I liked that. To quote Bethany Frankel, he came from a place of yes. Like I was like, I like that his first instinct was to just say yes to anything, which is what I look for in a boss personally. So then when I was getting that our new administration does not come from a place of yes, I was like, okay, this is not ideal. But I figured the worst they could say is no. Boy, was I wrong about that. So I get my contract renewal and I'm like, all right, I want to ask to go part-time. Not really sure how to go about this. Let me just like be a grown up and have a conversation. So I felt like no one was really going to like ride for me for this, because what I had seen is that for there to be a part-time teacher in my county, someone really had to like ride for that. Like someone had to be like, we need this person to go part-time. And it kind of had to be like an exception, but I knew it wasn't impossible. And I was like, damn, I know that like my old APs and my old principal would have like ridden for me for that. So I was like, I don't think anyone's going to ride for me, but we shall try. And so I was like, let me just go be like a grown-up woman and go have a conversation with my principal. Not really the most welcoming situation to come into after recent events. But I was like, whatever, worst he can say is no. So I get my contract, and then maybe it was like 2 or 3 days later. It was not long at all. We had a teacher work day. So I was like, I'm not even going to try and talk to him. I'm just going to talk to him on the teacher work day. Because like, if you work in a school, you know how difficult it is to even get like 5 minutes alone with a principal, especially at a high school. They're truly like running ragged the entire day. And I was like, I don't want to approach this conversation when like we're like rushed and stressed and on a time crunch. So I was like, let me just do this on a teacher work day. So I come in on the teacher work day, and this was, I think I'm remembering this correctly. If anyone like fact checks me and is like, you idiot whore, that's wrong. Sorry. I'm pretty sure this was a teacher work day that everyone thought was going to be virtual. And then the day before they were like, actually, you need to come to the building 8 a.m. sharp, babe. That has happened multiple times. So if this was not one of those times, sorry. So I get to the building 8 a.m. sharp, as I always do. And I go peep in the front office and I'm like, hey, is Dr. Principal here? And the front office, like principal secretary lady, she was like, no, he's not going to be in for a little bit. What do you need? And I was like, oh, I just need to have like a quick conversation with him about my contract for next year. I'll just come back later. And she's like, yeah, just come back in a couple hours. And so that was at like 8:00. At like 9:30, I like poked my head in again and no one was there. Like, and when I say no one was there, I'm talking about our main central office. It's not just the principal's office. The only person that was there was like our front desk principal's secretary. And I was like, all right, you guys are the ones that said we had to come in, but whatever, I guess. So then I go back to my room, trying to remember what I was doing at this time. Probably working, probably, I don't know. Whenever they would make us have mandatory professional development, I would always sign up for one on Zoom that was short so that I could just work in my classroom with it on. So I was probably doing like AI on Canva or something like that.
And I would always try and get the ones from outside vendors because I just felt like they had their life together a little more. So around like midday, like maybe 12:30-ish, whatever, I go down to the office again and I'm like, hey. And she, the principal's secretary, looks at me and she was like, oh, he said that, like, he's in a meeting right now. She goes, he's in a meeting right now, but come back at this time. I think it was like 1 or 2, like a little bit later in the afternoon. And for context, our day is 8 to 3:30. So I was like, okay. And so I come back at the time that she told me to, because she was like, he doesn't have anything on his calendar at that time. Come back then and you guys can have your little chat. So I'm like, cool. So I come back at that time and I'm sitting in a chair and she's at her desk and she's like, The setup here is like his office is at the back. The door is open. She's at her desk working. I'm sitting in like one of the chairs that parents sit in while they wait for their children or whatever. And so maybe like 10, 15 minutes go by and I was like, oh, is now still a good time? Do you want me to like set up a different time with him? Because we have, I think it's 12 days to sign our contract. So this was mildly urgent, but I knew I didn't need to get it resolved like this day. And she was like, no, it's fine. He should be like done with this call in a couple minutes. Just hang out here. And then maybe like 5 or 10 minutes later, so I'm in the office waiting for like 20 minutes. She looks at her phone and mind you, the door's open. I can hear him. I can't see him, but this man is maybe 25 feet away from me. And he's not talking on a call. Like clearly other people are talking, but he's not talking just from what I'm hearing. I don't really know what the call was. And so she looks at her phone and she goes, he just texted me and told me to tell you to leave and he can't talk. And I was like, cool. I am literally sitting right here, but cool. And I was like, all right, not a great start to this negotiation. And again, like, I get it. Principals are busy. I'm not offended that he didn't talk to me. I'm offended that you texted your secretary when I was sitting 25 feet away. Like, to me, there were just so many other options. And not even like, he texted his secretary, can you tell her to come back at 3:30? Does she mind staying after school? Is she free another day? Just no.
I am reading our texts again.
Oh my God. I love how you do this. How do you get back there so fast?
I searched the word contract in my iMessages and I scrolled back to March. And then I kept scrolling to February and January, and now I'm reading. You were so sad.
I was. Like, I felt so beat down at this point, and I consider myself to be, like, a fairly confident, self-assured person, but I literally felt like I was going into this office being like, please. Like, I felt like my entire life was at the whim of this one person who I've watched violate the law blatantly in writing publicly, and who also has kind of displayed a couple different behaviors to indicate they are not really a fan of mine, which, like, you don't need to be my number one fan. I get it. I'm intense. I'm not for everybody. But, like, if you are my boss, you do need to have, like, 1 ounce of professionalism. And I just found it very unprofessional to send a text when I'm literally 20 feet away and the door was open. Like, if the door was closed, it would have offended me less. Because if the door is closed, that's your signal being like, I'm busy right now. But you couldn't even poke your head and be like, sorry, can you come back? Like,
right.
You couldn't even fake it.
No, it's horrible. And at the same time, you were looking for a house. You were going through a bunch of stuff with your management. Like, it was not an easy time.
Like, a lot of the things that were happening to me were good, but that didn't make it less stressful. Like, even though it was exciting to buy a house, to be, like, dealing with my contract negotiations and then also giving to the bank, like, yes, I am very stably employed and I do deserve a mortgage. And then going and looking at houses after school, like, I'm really grateful that, like, my fiance is a competent man, which is apparently rare. And our real estate agent was really good because I felt like they did the vast majority of the heavy lifting in that process. Because I literally was just like freaking out. I was also getting my master's at this time. This is around the time I went on academic probation. This is around the time that my program was like, you are not going to graduate if you do not get your shit together. And I was like, oh, no. So his lovely assistant, who I'm a big fan of, she's like, hey, like, she said it so nice. Like, what I will give her credit for, she didn't show me the text. So I don't know if she was like sugarcoating anything. I don't know if the text was like, tell that idiot to get, like, I don't know. She just said like, hey, he texted me that he can't talk to you today. And I was like, okay. So I went back to my room and like, whatever. I tried to meet with him like a couple times. I spent the next like 5 or so school days trying to meet with him face to face. And like, it eventually, I just so got the sense that he was avoiding me. Like, it was just, I tried so many different times. Like, I tried before school. I tried during my planning period. I tried during lunch. I tried after school. And not, I need to talk to him right now. What I said is, does he have 5 free minutes? All I need is 5 minutes. And then one day his assistant was like, he told me to ask what you need to talk to him about because he doesn't have time to meet with you. And I said, I need to speak with him for 5 minutes before I sign my contract for next year. I got my contract for next year, which he had to recommend me for. Principals get a list of teachers. I live in a state where teachers have no rights and unions are illegal. So every year, principals just get a list of the teachers and they literally select who they do and do not want to offer a new contract to. So that means at some point I had to be on the yes list to get that contract. So I was like, clearly you don't hate me enough to not give me a contract. And one thing that your principal can do is be like, I don't want them here, but they can give you like put you back in the pool to go somewhere else. He didn't even do that. So I was like, all right, clearly he wants me to come back to this school. If I had not been offered a contract, I would have just like gone off into the sunset and like gone to fuck myself. But I was like, you sent me the contract. And the way I viewed it is like, yeah, you want me all day, but I'm not willing to do that. So I would assume you'd be happier with half a day than nothing, whatever. So when I talked to your secretary, I finally was just, because before I didn't really want to like tell her what was going on. I just said like, oh, it's about my contract. It's about my contract. And so finally I told her he will. I said, I'm not going to sign my contract until I speak with him for a few minutes. And she was like, okay. Still, he would not meet with me. Like, ignored multiple attempts I made, call, email, being like, do you have 5 free minutes? So after like a week, I resorted to just asking him over email because I was like, I wanted to like be two adult professionals and be like, hey, here's what I'm willing to do. What do you need from me as a teacher? And I was willing to like switch subject areas. Like, I was willing to come to it being like, I understand what I'm asking for is not normal and is kind of a big ask for you as a new principal in this district to go to your boss and be like, I want you to make an exception. Like, I understood that was a big ask. So I was willing to be flexible about like, if you need to take away my room and give it to someone else, that's fine. If you need to cut all of my benefits, that's fine. If you need to cut my pay, that's fine. Like, I was willing to like give up a lot. So eventually I resort to asking over email. This is the email. I said, hello, I hope you're well. As you know, I received my contract from HR, which requires my signature by blah, blah, blah. In the coming year, based on personal circumstances, I can only commit to a part-time position teaching 2 classes. We're on a block schedule, so we have 4 classes a day. So this was me only giving up 1 class and also giving up planning period and being willing to lose all my benefits and whatever. So I felt like motherfucking Teresa. I said, I sincerely enjoy being a part of the redacted school community, and I'm looking forward to continuing my teaching career here. Prior to my joining Redacted School, the APUSH exam pass rate was 0% for 5 consecutive years. Last year, approximately 39% of my students who took the exam passed and earned college credit. This improvement reflects the significant progress I've made in strengthening the program, and I'm committed to continuing this trajectory. Because I really didn't think he knew that, because he got hired mid-year, so like, why would you know that statistic about this one specific class? Like, I've no shade, like, I probably wouldn't if I was in his shoes. So I was like, let me put it in the email kind of as a way to be like, hey, I know what I'm asking for is weird, but I'm also clearly effective. So like, I think it's worth your while is what I was trying to say. Given my experience and the progress made in the AP US History program, I believe my role would be best utilized in teaching 2 sections of AP US History. If you feel differently on specifics, I'm certainly flexible. I understand that transitioning to a part-time position may result in a different pay structure and or benefits. Please let me know if there's any information or action needed on my end to facilitate this with HR. I truly appreciate your time and guidance. I look forward to hearing from you prior to contract deadline, blah, blah, blah. He replied to my email within less than 5 minutes. After I had been ignored for a full week, a reply that I got within less than 5 minutes, almost immediately. Good afternoon, Ms. Redacted. I don't have part-time positions at school. The position that you're currently in and the position for next year is a full-time position. If you're interested in working a part-time position, I suggest you contact Human Resources to discuss open positions that can accommodate you. Thanks, Dr. Principal. I don't think I'm crazy. I think the word accommodate was a purposeful jab. That might make me sound like I'm reading too much into it. I never used the word accommodate in my email. Let me double check that. Yeah, I said I can only commit to a part-time position. I didn't reference the ADA thing at all. All I said was personal circumstances. That's it. I think that the word accommodate was used as a middle finger to be like, you needy bitch, get out, I'm tired of you. That's very much how I felt. I don't know if that was the intention behind it, but that's how I felt from it. And I just, the thing that hurt the most was being ignored for a full week and then to get that within less than 5 minutes of sending an email. Like, what the fuck is that? What is that?
No, it was so sad too. You were very sad after he did that.
No, I was like sobbing because I remember I sent the email right before I left for the day and I got the response before I even got home. I think I got the response before I even made it out to my car in the parking lot. And I was just like gutted at that, like so, so gutted. And so the one thing that like really did warm my heart after this is that I told my two department heads like, hey, this is what happened. And the one thing that they said that they were probably right on is they were like, you should have said that at the beginning of the year because now it's on like a time crunch. But if you had like from the first day of school been like, hey, I'm happy to be here. Next year, I can only be part time. Maybe we could have figured something better out. And I was like, okay, that is a good point. But what they did, both my department heads and another administrator, like multiple people, went to the principal apparently during leadership meeting and were like, you need to figure out a way to keep her. Like, because what one of my department heads said is he went to him and said like, hey, I know this situation. And what the principal said was basically, well, I can find a replacement for her, no problem. Like, it won't be an issue to find a replacement. And my department head was like, you don't really understand that the kids at these schools don't just respond to anybody and they respond very well to her. You are not going to have the same pass rates on this exam. Like, we lucked out getting her. Like, we really need to try and figure this out here. And so they convinced him, this is, again, I'm hearing this secondhand, so if any of the details are wrong, sorry. They convinced him to call his boss and ask for it. They convinced him that in the leadership meeting, they said that they brought like some evidence, test scores, stuff like that, and made him call his boss and be like, at least ask, like at least ask if something can be done. And he said, yeah, I called. They said no. And they were like, I don't know if I believe that or not. So then they started calling as well. And what they told me is that from their impression, it didn't seem like it had been talked about before, but they didn't know for sure. And that they tried to make it work and offered a few different solutions. And they were like, what if we hire her in a different role, like as like a like administrative assistant instead? And then she can just teach APUSH out of someone else's room during their planning period. Yes. Yes. And at this point, obviously, I hadn't told the kids, but I had told my department heads and a couple of the other administrators what was going on. And so, like, there were conversations about trying to make this happen. And then apparently they did talk to someone at the district. And basically what they said is, like, it's a matter of points. And, like, every school gets a certain number of points based on how many students are at that school. Your number of points is how many teachers you get to hire. And so what was explained to me is that you only get to hire someone part-time if you have like an odd number of points, if that makes sense. So like over this week, there's conversations happening. People are saying, no, it's this technical reason, it's that technical reason, whatever. And so I'm like crying, stressed, like I want to fucking die during this time. Like I'm not even gonna like try and sugarcoat it. My mental health has never been worse in my entire life than it was during this like 2 week period when I was up for this contract renewal. I literally felt horrible, horrible, and like just so disrespected and so unvalued and so insulted, just absolutely horrific. And the fact that my boss wasn't even willing to talk to me face to face about it, so I'm having to go through multiple people, like I was like, this is literally just a disaster. And I told my department heads, since I couldn't talk to the principal about it, I was like, I'm willing to be like Simone Biles level flexible. I was like, if you want to put 50 APUSH kids in one class, I will teach 50 children in one class. I was like, if you want to switch me to a different subject area, if you want to take away my room, like I was like, I understand what I am asking for is not normal. So I am willing to bend on pretty much everything other than being part-time. Because I felt like you can be like heels in the ground about one thing. You know what I mean? And so time is rolling and rolling. Life is hell. And so I decided at this point, it was like 2 or 3 days before my contract was due. I was like, let me reach out to HR directly and like see what we can do here. So I send an email to HR. I literally went through the staff directory and found anyone that seemed even like slightly relevant. Like I was like, oh, head of recruitment, let's add you on there. Legal, let's add you on there. Contracts, why not? Because like no one was helping me and no one was answering me. So I was like, cool, we'll just fucking hi everyone. So I send them this email. Hello, I'm reaching out. And at this point, I'm getting reminder emails about the contract that says, if you do not sign by X day, it is considered a resignation. And I'm like, damn, a bitch can't even get an extension. I also, at this point, I'm in my grad program. If I do not finish out the full year, I get like removed from my grad program. Like my student teaching was my teaching. I'm also on academic probation because a lot of my portfolio submissions were horrible because I was dealing with this and I didn't read the directions. So I thought we could resubmit as many times as we wanted. And that wasn't the case, but whatever. So I send this email to fucking everyone. And I said, hello, I'm reaching out for guidance in regard to my 2025-26 contract. In all in bold highlighted, I am not resigning from my position as a teacher at school. Due to health conditions and personal matters, I need to shift into a part-time role. I have spoken with many people in departments over the last week, but I have not gotten a clear answer. How should I proceed with my contract? Well, I kind of forgot that I did call a couple departments in HR, or I called like our general HR, and what like four or five people told me in HR, they were like, just sign it and we'll work out the details later. They're like, just go ahead and sign the contract. And then one of my coworkers was like, sign it and you can like basically you have until June 1st to like rescind it without it negatively impacting your certification. And so everyone in HR was like, just sign it, just sign it, just sign it. But I could not find anything in writing that said you have until June 1st to rescind this. It wasn't in the contract. And so I called the state office of our certification and I said, hey, I'm trying to get into a part-time position. My district keeps telling me to like do this, sign this full-time contract. Do I have until June 1st? And the like state office basically said in prior years, it has been June 1st. This year, the state legislators have not written anything about that. So we don't know.
If you've ever had your kid come to you with homework that makes zero sense to either of you, or if you've ever gone down a YouTube rabbit hole just trying to help them study for a test, or maybe your kid is already doing great, but you want to make sure that they're staying challenged, enter IXL, an online learning program that covers math, language arts, science, and social studies for every grade from pre-K all the way through 12th. It's super easy to use on your phone, tablet, or computer, and it helps kids understand what they are learning. Kids get clear feedback, fun little rewards, and we get to stop pretending like we remember sixth grade algebra. I also love that kids who use IXL score higher on tests. Research backs it up in almost every state. One subscription covers all your kids, all subjects, all grade levels. A full month of IXL costs less than 1 hour with a tutor, and IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the United States. This is your sign, baby. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And Teacher Quick Talk listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/today. Visit IXL.com/today to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
So I was like, so there's not anything in writing to protect me on that. And they said, no, there is not. And so they were like, it's up to you. I really like, controversial take, I really like my state education people. Like in my experience, do they do much for us? No, not at all. But the little that they do has been clear and professional and fine. So I'm in okay graces with them. I also talked to the certification guy in my grad program. This is the only time I've been grateful to be in grad school because I felt like my grad program was like one of the only groups that I was like, okay, I do feel like you guys are on my side because I pay you money. Like you have an incentive to not fuck me over because I give you large amounts of money. And they basically told me the same thing the state did. Nothing is there to protect you. And they were a little more direct. They said, do not sign that contract if you do not feel you're going to do that. They said that my district had gone after multiple teacher certifications for very similar instances and had reported them to the state for violation of contract and gotten their certification, like a flag on it or revoked or whatever, depending on what the situation is. So that also made me feel super unsafe because I was like, my HR department was telling me something that the state confirmed is not correct. So I was like, that's fucking gross. So in this email, I told them I've reached out to multiple departments. I've not gotten a clear answer. I'm hesitant to sign the contract because the contract details a full-time position, but I want to make it very clear that I am not resigning and it is my full intent to return to school for the 25-26 school year. What do you all need from me to move forward here? Do I need to provide a doctor's note or other documentation? Because even though the request to go part-time wasn't medical in nature, I felt like I was so mentally ill at this point that now it was. Like, even though when I originally had the idea like 2 years ago, it was career reasons, not medical reasons. At this point, I was like, I'm fully going to end up in a mental hospital if I don't do something here. Like, misredacted the internet aside. And at this point, like, we had barely recorded Teacher Quit Talk. My streams were, like, in the shitter. Like, it was not a good era. My poor assistant, I neglected her for, like, months.
I wasn't doing good either. I was also suicidal for a whole different reason. So, you know what? Whatever, don't worry about it.
So I said, I'm aware that the deadline to sign is tomorrow. I apologize for the last minute nature of this request. I have been working to navigate this over the past week, but have not been able to get necessary information or responses. If you would like me to sign while we work on modifying my current role to a part-time position, I'm happy to do so, but I would need confirmation of that agreement in writing. Because I get, for funding reasons and all that, they need signatures. So I wasn't against signing it knowing I wasn't going to do it. I just wanted something in writing so that if they did report me to the state, I could be like, you guys told me it was fine. Because like, over the phone means nothing. I look forward to hearing from you, and I am confident that we can find a path forward that upholds the district mission of, I'm not going to say this because then you could Google it and figure out where I work, but basically the district HR mission was to provide like a safe and inclusive workspace, blah, blah, blah. So I put their mission statement in the email. No one really responded to that email, but a lovely woman who is a director level in HR, I think she's in charge of like talent and recruitment. She emailed me and was like, She replied and she was like, what's your cell phone number? Can I call you this evening? She spent almost 45 minutes on the phone with me at 7 o'clock at night being like, so fucking nice and so fucking kind. And I told her everything about the ADA thing. And I said, I feel so pushed out and I feel so unvalued. And I feel like you all are begging me to quit. And she was like, I assure you that's not the case. I'm so sorry that that happened to you. That should not have happened that way. She was like, I really want to find a solution to this for you. She was like, I need to talk to some people in the office tomorrow. And she was like, I really want to make this work. This should not have happened this way. She was so nice. And it was so not her problem. Like, it was not under her realm of responsibility at all. But the fact that she took time out of her evening to call me on her personal cell phone and listen to what happened and be so kind, like, literally, I will remember her for the rest of my life. Like, and I know to you all, you might be like, that's like the bare minimum of professionalism. But again, like, this was not her responsibility. And the way that she handled it, she was just genuinely kind to me and like was willing to hear out my perspective here.
But also, like, think about the way that your professional life has gone so far. Like, you have not been shown one decency ounce of respect. Or respect or kindness by a lot of people above you. And, like, yeah. Especially you are going through a lot right now. And, like, I think the people that are really, really nice to us in, like, our darkest, shittiest hours are always going to be remembered. And, like, I think that's also why people are like, be kind, for everyone is fighting a battle that you don't know about. Like, but it's like
true. Some of us are fighting HR.
Some of, like, literally our biggest battle is fucking HR sometimes, but not fucking HR. That's a whole other kind of can of worms. But
maybe if I was fucking HR, I would have gotten what I wanted.
Oh, you would have. You would have bopped right onto the top, but
I would be the principal. Alas.
Yeah.
That evening, she basically was like, all right, I'm going to talk to people tomorrow. She was like, I'm going to call you back tomorrow, like midday. The next day, it was a Thursday. I have never been a worse teacher in my life. I clocked 11,000 steps that day, 400 active minutes, and 4.5 hours on the phone. And my poor little students were just staring at me outside my little classroom window as I like paced back and forth so I could still see them. And I turn bright red if I'm experiencing an emotion. I teach in a predominantly Black school, so many people notice that and find it very, very jarring, and they think I am in need of medical attention when I turn bright red. So not only do I have 30 children staring at me from a doorway, and at one point I should have taken a picture. They looked so fucking funny. I had the door like halfway open so that I could hear them and like watch them while I was on the phone trying to deal with this. There were like five of them sticking their heads out of the door like a cartoon, like stacked on top of each other. And they were like, "Are you okay? You look really scary." And I was like, "I'm fine." I was like, everything's good. And they're like, "Are you in trouble?" And I was like, "No." I was like, "I'm just trying to figure out what the plan is for next year. All good." I was like, "I have not been fired and I'm not quitting. We just got to figure some stuff out." And then, so I have the 30 children trying in multiple class periods because this saga went on the whole day, just staring at me. And then every staff member that walked past, because I'm bright red, was like, "Oh my God, you need to go to the hospital. I'll watch your class." Like multiple people tried to call 911. And I was like, "No, you guys, this is just something that happens to Caucasian people.
Sometimes white people just turn this color. Don't worry about it."
And they were like, "I think you might be having a heart attack." And I was like, "No.
Maybe.
I wish.
Day ain't over yet."
So I'm on the phone with HR. The woman that was so nice, whatever employee, I don't know if it was her assistant or whatever, he was horrible. I spent most of the day on the phone with him. Some great one-liners that he gave me were, "You put us in a terrible position by waiting till the last minute. What do you think we could do for you when you give us 24-hour notice?" He said, "You're coming to me with nothing. You want to go part-time, but you don't even have a doctor's note." And I said, "Well, when I went through HR months prior with a doctor's note, this is what happened." And he goes, "Principals can't reject it. You should have appealed it." And I said, "I didn't even know I could appeal it. I sent multiple emails explaining how what happened was illegal and no one answered." And he goes, "Oh, I'm going to transfer you to the office to appeal it." So I left a voicemail with them. To this day, no one has ever responded to that. And then he was one of the ones that was like, "Just sign it, just sign it, just sign it." And he kept saying like, "I don't know what you even want from me, blah, blah, blah," like horrible. And so what he really didn't like on the phone is I started getting like angry. Like you could tell I was upset. I was like, "This has been wildly unprofessional. You have told me information that is blatantly incorrect. I have spoken to the state." Like I called the state multiple times this day too. He goes, "I just want to remind you that you're on a recorded line and anyone in HR could learn your name and how you've treated us today." And I said, "That's awesome that we're on a recorded line since you've admitted to this HR department violating federal law multiple times with me." He really didn't like that. So I spent like the whole day getting bounced to random departments and like random people. Like the message I was getting was like, "Give up, fuck off, or sign it." And I think the way my HR department operates, that I think they just don't realize this is not a power dynamic I'm willing to participate in, is they are very willing to use the threat of you not having food and shelter over you. So what happened so many times on the phone is they said, "Well, then it's a resign and then we can't rehire you. You'd be resigning." What they said to me on the phone multiple times was, "You'd be out of a job." That sentence was said to me by multiple HR people. And so I was like, I took everything in me to not be like, "Do you know who the fuck you're talking to?" Like, because I was like, "Ah." This was also at this point, I think, like right after we closed on our house. So I was like, "All right, I just obtained the biggest loan of my life. Let me put my employment on the line. Fuck it, we ball." So I'm like bright red, fucking. And at this point, I was like, "I'm not fucking signing it. I'm not fucking signing shit." Because like a couple days prior, I felt like if you give me something in writing saying you're figuring out how to make me part-time, I'll sign it. Now I was like, "You fuckers are trying to trap me into working here." Like they just so many times like, "Just sign it, just sign it." They're saying you'll be out of a job, blah, blah, blah. Then I was like, they're trying to trap me. It felt like they wanted to get me to sign out of desperation. And then in like June or July, they were going to be like, "Oh, sorry, we couldn't figure out part-time. So you have to come back full-time or else we're going to revoke your certification." Because what they kept saying is like, "This is so last minute, just sign it. And so give us time to figure this out." And I was just like, "You all are so predatory. I literally have zero faith in you at all. Like I'm not signing this agreement." And then they just kept saying, "Then you're resigning." And I said, "I'm not resigning." And they were like, "You are." And I was like, "No, I'm not." And so the day passes. I spend like 4 hours on the phone with HR. This was the day before the contract was due. And I was just like, "I'm not signing this." Like I just, I went through, this is something my therapist taught me, is go through like best case, worst case, and like middle case scenario. And I just could not find any scenario where signing this document did anything positive for me. I felt like me signing it was going to take away all my leverage. And as everyone was getting angrier as we got closer to the deadline, I really realized I did have some leverage here. Like, everyone was just getting really angry that I hadn't signed. And they were like, we only have a few teachers who haven't signed and you're one of them. Like, we're trying to close this out by end of business. Go ahead. And so, like, I was like, oh, you guys are really upset that I'm not just like shutting up and signing this, which was kind of a flag to me that like, okay, I definitely shouldn't sign it. Cause I think the reality they're operating in that's not wrong is like, once you sign it, we own you. And I think it was like very uncomfortable to them and very not the norm to them that I was willing to possibly lose my employment. Like, I think most people, when they go, if you don't do it, you're resigning, people get scared and they sign it because most people have like children and bills to pay and self-preservation skills that I do not.
It's not clocking to you.
No, literally.
It's not clocking to you that I'm standing on business.
That's literally how I felt. And everyone is always shocked at this. No one at my district like knows about my fame and things like that. They don't. And everyone's like, how? You see the kind of department I'm dealing with. They don't even know the state law. So
not at all.
So that day ends. I go home and I talk to my fiance and I'm like, I really don't think I should sign it. Like, I was like, I really think signing it is just going to be bad for me. And one thing that I had brought up, but I was very against, both to my fiance and my therapist when I was talking about this, because me and my therapist were talking about this so fucking much, which was also pissing me off, because I was like, I'm supposed to be talking about my fucked up childhood, not my fucked up job. Like, this is not how we progress. I'm getting worse, not better.
This is not how I planned therapy.
No, literally. And I shit you not, when I first started therapy and I did my intake, I was like, yeah, on career, I'm good. I love my school. I love my admin. This was like 2 months before my old principal left, and how the turntables.
That's why this hit so hard, I think.
Yes.
Because you genuinely love what you do. You did love your school. You loved your coworkers, you know?
Still do. Still in that bitch. Still do. So it was the day before the contract was due, and like, I'd been on the phone with HR literally the whole day, and I went home and talked to my fiance and I was like, I just don't think I should sign this. Like, it just seems like there's no universe where signing this does positive things for me. So I kind of decided in that moment, like, yeah, I'm not going to sign it. And it was due the next day at 11:59. So I remember it was due on a Thursday. So this was a Wednesday that I decided not to sign it after like about a week and a half of back and forth and me being miserable and stressed and talking to every single person who works in HR but also doesn't understand employment law somehow. So I go to work on Thursday. Honestly, I don't remember anything that happened that day during the workday. I think I was just like, let me just try and be normal and have a normal day. So nothing about like me working with children really stands out that day at all. And then at the end of the day, I got called, and this part I'm a little fuzzy on too. I feel like I had just been through so much that my brain just kind of stopped recording it. Somehow I ended up in the front office at the end of the day. I don't remember if they called me over the PA or someone came to my room to come and get me, but like, somehow I was there. And I was in the main office, not in the principal's office. I've kind of told you guys the setup, how like his office is like inside of the central office. So there's other people there. Like, there was like a parent and some kids there. There were other staff members there. The principal's secretary was there. Like, it was right after school. Like, people are in the office. That's a place where people are because they need things. And I remember the principal had like a list, and I think it was a list of the people who hadn't signed their contracts yet, because most people sign it within like a day or two. Like, most people get their renewal, they get it every year, and then they sign it and we all move on with our lives. So it was like, I think, or I assume, my principal's boss or someone in HR told the principals like, hey, today's the deadline. Here's a list of your people that haven't signed. Like, figure out what's going on with that. And so I like walk in and he was like, are you going to sign it or not? And I said, I was like, well, I don't really feel comfortable signing an agreement outlining employment that I know I'm not going to be able to do. Like, I'm really not willing to commit to anything above anything other than part-time next year. And he was like, well, I don't have a way to do that. We have a point system. Because remember, all the stuff of like him going to the district and all the stuff I said a little bit ago, I don't know if he knew that I knew that, because he wouldn't talk to me during this entire time. Like, this was the first face-to-face conversation we were having about my contract for next year. And it started with, so are you going to sign it or not? Not like, hey, I know you wanted to be part-time and it's not working out. Like, I'm sorry. Not like, I did what I could, or even acknowledgement, like, just nothing at all. Just, are you going to sign it or not? That I was like, okay, great. And so I explained, like, I don't feel comfortable signing something I know I'm not going to be fulfilling. And I was like, I'm willing to be flexible on a lot of other things. Like, I know, and I said, I know department head and other administrator and so-and-so had talked to me about the options of maybe me being hired as an administrative assistant and teaching out of someone else's room for a couple periods a day. And he was like, well, the problem is I can't hire you part-time because that means I'm giving up a full-time position. And like, what would I do with those classes? Which, like, I'm not mad at him for having that perspective because that's very understandable. Like, the district isn't just going to let you hire an extra person because, like, your little spoiled princess wants to be part-time. And so I told him, I was like, I understand you're in a rough position with that. I said, what I would be happy to do if this is even allowed is, I said, this year I had two classes of AP US History and one Gen Ed class. And I knew that the 10th grade class for AP Social Studies was smaller than the current class I had. Because the classes I had like 21 in one class and 25 in another. I knew the AP World classes only had like 20 kids in each class. One of them had 18, I think. Like, it was a little bit lower. Not crazy, but a little bit. I said, like, I know Mr. AP World teacher, his classes are a lot smaller. So I'm not opposed at all to combining them into one section and having one big section with like 40 APUSH kids and then my one Gen Ed class like we normally do. That way you wouldn't have to pull any kids into other classes or change schedules and all that. And he looks at me and goes, I'm not going to do that. And I was like, okay. And again, like, I get there's rules about how many kids can be in a class. I get that this would impact other people, but it was just like the tone and the verbiage that got me. Not like, I appreciate you trying to figure it out, but for X, Y, and Z, we can't. Just straight, I'm not going to do that. Like, it just felt like there was no world where any effort was made to retain me as an employee at all. Like, it was very much like my way or the highway, which I get is just kind of the norm of education. But like I've told you guys, I made a big difference in the scores. Like, I felt like a leader that would be thinking like clearly and level-headed about like, what are my goals for this institution? Okay, this teacher is aligned with my goals. Like, it just felt like a very short-sighted decision. And the thing that multiple people told me is every time someone would try and talk to him about me and how we could work out a solution, he would just say, it won't be a problem to fill that position. It won't be a problem to fill that position. Which is true, because like, people want to teach the advanced classes at a high school because it's easier behavior management-wise. But I just felt like that was very insulting to the work that I had put in. And like, also the money I had spent, I spent over $1,000 to get curriculum for this class, like of money from donations I got and the internet and some of my own. So like, I can fill the position. It just felt like I was being treated like I was very replaceable, which I know technically I am, but like results wise, I don't feel that I am. And so when he said that, I just kind of accepted like, okay, it's not happening. Like, it's just not. Like, I was like, this thing that I wanted, that I had planned on for a couple years, I knew it was like a slim chance, but now I really feel like it's at zero. And so even though I was so against subbing when my fiance and my therapist said it, I just kind of like, I didn't even think about saying it. The words just kind of like fell out of my mouth. Like, when I was standing with him and after like the second or third time, he was like, so are you signing it? Are you signing it? I'm not going to do that. Just being so curt. Curt is really the best way I could describe it. Like, it wasn't mean. It wasn't aggressive. It wasn't nasty. It was just very curt, which I just don't respond awesome to, even though I'm a huge bitch. You'd think I would have more tolerance for it. But just like, I felt the words leave my mouth. I said like, what about me subbing next year? And I don't know where it came from, but as soon as I said it, I felt like so calm and like unbothered. And I was just like, wow. And I just felt like every time I went into one of these conversations, the other person, whether it was my principal or HR or whoever, was expecting to have a certain power dynamic. And then when that wasn't the power dynamic, I just felt like the conversation fell apart from there. And when I said, well, what about me subbing next year? He just goes, we always need great subs. He said, we always need subs. And I said, okay, great. And I said, if anything at all changes, please let me know. I said, it would still be my first choice to be teaching AP US History, but I'm happy to sub as well. So if anything on your end changes, just let me know. I'll keep an eye out. And he said, okay. And walked away. And I literally just immediately felt like a huge weight lift off my shoulders. That even though it wasn't what I wanted, I was just like, wow, cool. Like, it felt so good to like not sign that agreement. Like, I think if I had signed it, I would have felt like I had died. So like, even though I was kind of scared and I was like, even though I was kind of scared and I was like, oh, I won't have health insurance and I'll be poor, I was like, cool. Like, it just, going into another agreement for 365 days of being tied to this institution that had done me so dirty and so illegally just seemed so risky. Like, I felt like I was purely at this point in the mindset of risk management of my own life. And I also had just, or at this point, when me and him had this conversation, I knew I was like, no, I didn't. So at this point, I was still in grad school and I knew that like I was going to be done with my certification. Even though I was on academic probation, I like knew it was going to work out. You know, like I knew it was going to be a pain in the ass and I needed to get my shit together, but I knew it was like going to be okay in the end. And so the way I was thinking about it is I was like, if I sign this agreement, the chance of me crashing out and doing something insanely irrational and getting myself fired and getting my certification revoked is like a solid 50-50. Like I was
ending up on the news.
Yeah. Like I was in a place that was so bad mentally that I was like, I know if I have another year like this previous year, I am going to do something stupid. Like, I just know it. And I was like, I am smart enough to not put myself in a position where I'm going to do something that violently dumb to lose my certification. And then my certification lasts for 5 years before you have to renew it. So I was like, 5 years is a long time. I have 5 more years before I have to renew. And I'm not 100% sure how renewal works in my state. I know if you're actively teaching, it's super easy. And if you're not actively teaching, you can still do it. It's just harder. So I was like, me not teaching for a year is not going to derail my career. But I felt like me going back and going insane was definitely going to derail my career. I was like, even though it was like a risky choice to like lose the money and lose the stability, I was like, I am going to end up like launching my Honda CRV off the roof of our building onto the football field or something. Like, I was like, I don't know what I'm going to do, but I know it's going to be bad. Like, one person is going to say something to me and I'm going to just do something. And we don't need to be there. Like, you know, when they tell new moms, if you're going to shake your baby, just put it down and walk away. That's how I felt. Like, I was like, don't shake the baby. Like, we're good. We are good. And so the only other thing that happened is honestly like really stupid, but maybe like a couple weeks later, 3 or 4 weeks, I, after school, was in one of my administrator's office to have her sign off on a bunch of stuff for grad school for me, like hours that I'd completed. So like completely unrelated. And over the radio, I heard them calling for me and the principal was like screaming my name. And I was like, it couldn't be me. So I just like ignored it. And then security like ran into the administrator's office and was like, Dr. Principal's looking for her. You need to come to his office right now. And apparently they had like called my classroom phone and gone in my room. But because I was in the administrator's office and over the radio, what I heard is like, she shouldn't have left for the day because like we're not supposed to leave till a little bit after. And so I looked at the administrator and I was like, can you come with me? Because I was like, am I about to get like sacrificed? Like, what's about to happen? And she was like, yeah, I'll come with you. So we go down there. And it basically, he had called me in there because earlier in the day, he had sent me an email telling me I needed to fill out a form saying I was resigning. And I had replied to his email and was like, hey, I'm not going to fill this out until the end of the year because for my grad program, I have to be like completing all my hours and remain as an employee. So I don't really feel comfortable signing something in March, or at this point it was April, signing something in April when I still have like a month of my program. And also I'm not resigning, I'm switching to sub. And so that's why he called me into his office and he was like, I need you to sign this. And I was like, well, and I said the same thing that I'd said over email. And he was like, he got like visibly angry and like was standing in front of me. And then I saw him like stop himself and like calm down a little bit and back up and go sit behind his desk. And there were also like 5 random people in his office in this moment too. And he was like, you're putting me in a bad position now. It was enough that you didn't re-sign your contract, but in order for hiring, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, okay. And I had to like gentle parent him. It was horrible. I was like, last time we spoke, I mentioned that I was not resigning. I was going to sub next year. And he goes, well, I never said you could sub here. I don't have a building sub position to give you. And I said, okay, I understand that. And I said, as a sub, I would work for the central office and then report here. And he goes, well, that has nothing to do with me. So I need you to sign this for me so that I can post your position. And I was like, again, I just invested $10,000 into my certification. I do not feel comfortable dating a document saying I'm resigning when I'm not, and I still have hours to complete. I'm happy to complete it after I graduate from my program, May, like, I think it was like 10th or something like that, which I felt like May is not ideal to post a position, but you still have a full like 2.5 months before school starts. And then he literally, when I explained that again, he was like, okay, okay. And then he picked up his phone and shooed me away like a medieval servant. He goes, if you're not going to sign, just go. And then later I found out apparently like 5 other people had also refused to sign that document earlier in that day. Like the email that I got, I was on BCC. It went to other people. And one of the other teachers, she was in the hospital and he called her and was like, I need you to sign this right now. And like, but then they posted our positions anyway, so I guess they didn't even need that. And then I saw a document later that had that date as my resignation date, even though I never signed anything. So, like, the whole thing was weird. And then over the summer, I got hired as a sub, which, like, I posted on Substack the details about that. It's less dramatic and more just, like, chaotic and dumb and slow and paperworky. But that's really the last of it. That's the tale of how I ended up going from teacher to sub, which was like not the OG plan and not the desire, but here's where it landed. And I'm happy with how it worked out. I'm taking more certification exams to get certified in other areas. I don't know if I'm going to go back to the classroom next year, the year after. I don't know. Like, I really couldn't tell you. It would just depend on like what opportunities are out there and how I feel and what's going on. But what I do feel pretty confident in is that if I go back to the classroom either next year or the year after, whatever, I really want to teach something that doesn't have standardized testing in it. I've never taught without standardized testing, and I think it would just be a cool experience, and I want to experience teaching without the pressure of like how my data is going to impact our school grade and my boss's evaluation. Like I've just never experienced that, and it seems like a cool to experience. So we shall see what happens in my future. I appreciate you all listening to like 3 hours of my trauma over the last year, but I promise I'm really okay. Like, was I okay 6 months ago? No, not even close. Not even close to okay. But now I genuinely do feel good and happy and like things are going well and on the right path for me in this moment in time.
I love it. I feel like this was such a happy ending, even though it was like kind of unexpected. I really did not expect you to leave.
Me either. But then when it was just going on, I felt like this was really the first time in my career that I made a choice out of very rational and logical things and not just 100% driven by emotion. I feel like all my other career moves have been driven by emotion. Like when I left my first school, it was out of anger. And when I got my job in corporate, it was out of desperation. And then when I went back to teaching, it was out of like a love for teaching. And like, there was so much emotion in this like experience with the ADA thing and the part-time thing and the contract that I was just like, no, I need to be an adult and be rational and logical and think about what's going to be the best for me and my future and my goals. And it was like really giving frontal lobe.
I was just going to say the frontal lobe is frontal lobing. The therapy is therapying. Like,
no, literally. Yes. Like, I was like, oh my God, is this what it feels like to make like rational, well thought out, empowered decisions? Interesting. And I'm not saying any
of the frontal lobe.
Any of the earlier decisions I made that I just mentioned that were out of emotion, I don't think I made the wrong decisions. I think sometimes I went about things in not the best way, but I don't regret or think any of those choices were bad. But this one just felt so different, which was a really cool to experience. And I knew I was going to share it with you all one day, and I'm glad that that day is now, because the hardest part of this was like then having to go on the internet and be like, education, ha ha! Like,
it was a rough year.
It was rough. And I'm 27. That's what it's supposed to be. And that's what I've accepted is astrologically, 27 is when your career goes haywire, and mine went haywire. And here we are, and it's fine.
And we live, we laugh, we love. Well, the dog's here to do some ASMR breathing for you.
Perfect okay, way
well,
to end this.
Thank you all for tuning in. Thank you for sharing and for your vulnerability.
I try. If love anyone you. Uses it against me, I'll find something about you and use it against you too. So.
And I'll help. We love you.
Skywriting.
Yes.
Love
Bye.
You.
Mwah.